Welcome to Package, the official podcast of the Liquor Stores Association of Western Australia. Your host today, Peter Kapsanis.
Hello again, thanks for your company. Did you know one of Australia's popular and famous wineries was founded on migration? De Bortoli Wines was founded 90 years ago after Vittorio De Bortoli emigrated from northern Italy. The tale is romantic, nostalgic and one of hardship, which is akin to most migrant stories in Australia's history. Today, we're joined by Manny Lucas, who is De Bortoli's estate sales manager. Manny, welcome to Packaged.
Thank you, Peter.
A Greek telling the story of Italians. That's got to be a world first.
Yes, there's a couple of jokes about that, but we won't go into that. It's an honour to be part of the family and working with them. They are just unbelievably friendly people.
I've been doing some reading on the De Bortoli story, particularly about Vittorio De Bortoli emigrating out here in the 1920s. It's a fascinating story and tale, but please give me the background. Tell me how it all started.
Well, it started pretty much in Vittorio looking for a better life than what was happening back in northern Italy. Emigrated out to Australia in mid-20s. Found his way out to Griffith and found some land that was on offer from the New South Wales government at the time with some of the return services people that were looking for land and some opening up what became Australia's food bowl.
Yeah. In Griffith. Okay. But he left his family behind at the time, didn't he? Had a wife for a bride in waiting for quite a number of years before she was... sent for.
That's correct, Peter. And a couple of years later, she was invited out and the romance started, or had already started, but...
It solidified.
Solidified. Yeah. I think it's one of those stories that people can relate to. I think over the years there's been many stories of families making their way out and making their way through the Australian psyche, lifestyle in Australia, and making a life for their families.
What fascinated me was Mrs. De Bortoli, Vittorio's wife, actually that time, during that 3 or 4 years that Vittorio was here in Australia, she left Italy to go to work as a maid in France, learnt the language, learnt French quite fluently. Then when she did go to rural New South Wales, she actually bartered French lessons for English lessons with a local school teacher and apparently imported French textbooks, French winemaking textbooks, which Vittorio was able to apply in the winemaking process. So how's that for forward thinking?
Peter, it's a fantastic story. And the thought process with that woman back in those days to do what she did. I think we did name a product after her. It was called La Bossa because that was her nickname. And she used to look after all the finance, all of the processes with winemaking, and as you said, with the translating those French books into text so that he could understand it and do what they became known as winemakers. That was certainly a great story.
It's a family of four generations down the winemaking business there with De Bortoli. The family still is quite entrenched in it, isn't it?
Very much so, Peter. Darren De Bortoli heads it up at the moment.
So what do you think it is that has allowed De Bortoli to assert itself as one of the premier and premium wineries across the country?
Well, I think it's the commitment family to the land, to the products themselves, what they're producing, in making sure that the quality is there. And I guess... the time it's all about family and making sure that what they put in the bottle you can enjoy with your friends and family over good food, and that's what it's all about. It's I think sometimes we might get a little bit too involved with the wine itself, but sometimes it's just there to be enjoyed and drunk.
As it should be. No reason for it to be overcomplicated, I think.
Agreed.
I'm a simple man, Manny. So what are the some of the well-known or popular drops? What would you say is a Rolls-Royce in the De Bortoli range?
Peter, most people probably associate De Bortoli with Noble One. That would be by far our Rolls-Royce of the portfolio. Highly acclaimed awards internationally and and Australia-wide. And many years of trophies after trophies that, without sounding like a sales spell, it's certainly our Rolls-Royce, and we protect it with all we've got.
So how did you get involved with the company, Manny? Has wine been your, I guess, the wine and catering business, has that been your background?
My background, my father was involved in the hotel business, and I kind of like followed his footsteps behind bars and what have you. And we moved to WA in 1977 from Victoria, and I started working at a restaurant called Casa Pepe, and I looked after the bar and the wine list. And when the restaurant was sold, which was out front of the Metro Markets in Wellington Street, now Harbour Town, I had an opportunity to join Lindemann's Wine. So that was 1985, and I've been in the liquor business ever since.
What do you enjoy about being in the liquor business or the wine business?
Probably the best thing I enjoy is the new products every year. There's sort of like something new to sell, and the flavours, the different taste profiles that come through, different winemaking techniques, different brands. That's probably my enthusiasm. And, of course, you know, a good network of customers out there that really sort of support you, and you know, some more than others, and some a challenge, but it's part of the business, and that's what you do. But I enjoy the overall consumption of wine.
Yeah, as we all do. So where are your vineyards located? Obviously, New South Wales, rural New South Wales is where it all started. Have you expanded the empire?
Yes, we certainly have. And early in the piece, I think in the Riverina area, we were producing major commercial wines through there. And I think the family recognised there needed to be a shift towards premium wines. And I think in the mid-70s, they acquired a property in Dixon's Creek in the Yarra Valley in Victoria. And Leanne was assigned to look after the property and grow the business.
Leanne's one of the daughters of Victoria. Correct. And yeah. Yes, okay.
Yeah. So granddaughter, that is, sorry.
Granddaughter,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. So they looked after that with her husband, Steve Weber, who's an acclaimed winemaker from Lindemann's days back then. And so they've set about building the Yarra Valley Winery. And over time, we've acquired vineyards in the King Valley, Heathcote in Victoria, most recently Rutherglen, and of course our Riverina area. So we're fairly centric eastern seaboard, with no presence in WA or South Australia at this present point in time.
Okay. What about the reliance on water? Because I know sustainability has been big for the company in more recent years. How crucial is that with, and I'm talking about the reliance on water, how crucial is that with the element of climate change now in the mix?
Well, I guess the obvious thing is that if no water, no wine. and that can be quite a challenge. But we, the sustainability product and position that we've taken is that we want to deliver and save as much as we can and deliver the land back to the way we found it. But I think the family are very keen to ensure water, and they have access to water. We have our own dams on some of the properties, but we also have to draw out of the Murray-Darling Basin, which is quite a costly exercise nowadays. And some of our customers will know that Darren de Bortoli is a very passionate arguing at great lengths with the politicians with regards to the plan on Murray-Darling Basin. So it is top of mind, and we are working behind the scenes to try and correct some of the anomalies that are there managing the Murray.
Where do you think, obviously your role is orientated a bit around sales, but you've been in the business long enough to see the peaks and the troughs, and this whole climate change and the whole reliance on water and I guess the sustainability, the environmental aspect that is now more at the forefront, and there's more a conscious effort to be involved in that space. How important is that going forward for the industry as a whole?
I think it's critical. Water is the resource. If we don't have water, we don't have grapes or fruit. It is the most protected part of the equation. I think the industry has changed dramatically over the years. If I cast, it seems to have gone in 10-year cycles, and with change in ownership of producers to retail landscape, it is just different and changes quite rapidly, to be honest. I think we've seen quite a few independents grow with multiple stores. We've seen chains grow over the years. We've seen them disappear over the years. We've seen publicans grow. The business of consuming wine has grown fantastic over the years, but it's something that you need to protect. And water, getting back to your original question, is we need to protect that. And we do a lot of work on reducing our wastewater.
Okay. Water's critical. Retailers and liquor store owners are also fairly critical, I would imagine, as well. You're part of the Liquor Stores Association as a partner. How important is it for liquor stores around WA to enable for consumers to buy the De Bortoli product?
Well, of course, the way the business is set up across the country, the retailers are our gateway to the consumers. We have a cellar door over in Griffith in New South Wales and Victoria, but that we might touch with our customers face to face. But the retail landscape is where our products get sold, and so they are very critical to our overall plan of getting our products to the consumers, because you can't bypass them. They're integral to being there and getting the consumer to buy our product, because they buy it from our friendly liquor stores.
And before we start to wrap things up, Manny, the last 12 months during COVID, there were restrictions on sales and volumes and on the cellar door, etc. How did COVID transform or impact De Bortoli's business?
Well, in the east, on the eastern seaboard, they've had some serious issues with supplies and getting sales through with obviously all the lockdowns. But here in WA, I think it's no secret with our government controlling the borders and protecting West Australians, we seem to have found a positive side of it. I guess people are more consuming wine at home now and not dining out as much. We find our retail sales have increased, and reliance on certain products are paramount nowadays. So, those commercial products that the consumers need, there seems to be more demand for them. I guess being a Victorian-based wine company, we're up against the West Australian Margaret River products, and they are just some sensational products that we've got to compete against, and I guess that's part of the market. But in answer to your question, COVID has been tough early on, but I think we've worked our way through it, and let's hope that going forward it's a brighter future.
Okay, last question before we do wrap things up, Manny. When people buy a De Bortoli wine, what's the one thing they should remember? So when I walk into a liquor store and I pick up a bottle of wine and I pick up a De Bortoli wine, what's the one takeaway that I should bear in mind?
Well, I would like to think they're getting a good quality product, and they're getting a brand that they know and are confident and safe with. I don't think it wouldn't be a producer out there that would produce a wine that's under quality or anything like that, and you wouldn't see it in a bottle nowadays. It's just too competitive. But I think the value prospect and the fact that it's a premium wine, depending what it is, that they can enjoy and consume with their dinner or lunch.
Mm. Now, before I do let you go, I just realised you have brought in two special-looking bottles of wine. What are they, and what's their claim to fame?
Yes, Peter, the first product I got here is a individual vineyard Pinot Noir.
You're talking my language.
Lusatia Park. This is sourced from the higher reaches of the Yarra Valley. It's Rearray. I've got the 2017 vintage here. This is our showcase for individual vineyards. I can, if ever I had you over at the Yarra Valley, I can take you to the vineyard that this particular product comes from. So we've got a series of products that have come from a single vineyard, and under the Rearray label, which is Tara backwards. It's got all the organic features. It's natural, everything about it. It's handpicked. There is just a complete project of premium wine.
Yeah, it looks very tempting to open up right now, to be honest.
Well, I know you've got a coffee mug there, but I've got a glass over here so we can open it up.
Has this won any accolades or any awards?
So that particular vintage, not to my Oh, hang on. Sorry, it has a gold and a trophy from the Sydney Wine Show, which was last year's Sydney Wine Show before COVID hit, and they had to
close it down. So it's definitely a good tasting drop.
Yeah, that's right. And also a Devoutly, the estate vineyard. This is from our Yarra Valley vineyard. This is the estate, so we've got a...
Dixon's Creek, Dixon's Yarra Valley. Creek,
yeah, we've got 340 hectares of land under vines, and we produce some sensational wines, but all Yarra Valley focused and profile. So it's a little bit different to a West Australian wine, so we don't like to get into the comparisons, but they're just different taste profiles.
No, this looks really good and looks like it'll taste really well in the back of my mouth at some point.
I can assure you that. We drank that last night, so I thought I'd better bring I had two bottles in the car, so I thought I'd better bring you one in.
Yeah, good man. Well, Manny Lucas, thank you for joining us on Package today to share the De Bordoli story. It's a fascinating story, an enjoyable story, and one that I'm sure that you'll be glad to keep on telling us more and more over the weeks and months during the course of the year.
Thank you for having me, and I look forward to coming back again.